We're going to get into God's Word. Okay, let's pray. I'd like to pray as we start into God's Word. Thank you, Lord. God, we just pause and acknowledge that you are Lord. You're Lord in this place, Lord in our lives. God, we ask that you will be glorified. Help us to hear what you want to say to us. Help us to put it into practice, not just to be hearers, but doers of your word. And Lord, we ask that you will be glorified. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So over the last couple of weeks, Pastor John has given us the vision, or certainly he's done three quarters of the fourfold vision of growing up in maturity, growing together in community, growing out in evangelism and mission, growing larger as a church. I don't know whether you've noticed, but they are all about growing. We need to be growing. Do you ever ask the question of yourself? It's often a New Year's Day or New Year's Eve thing. How much have you changed over the last year? How much have you grown? How much closer are you to God than you were the previous year? Or how has things developed? Have you got into God's word deeper? Are you knowing more things about God? Do you understand God's word a little bit more? I really would encourage you that growth is vitally important. The world and scripture gives us so many illustrations of why growth is so important. When we talk about planting seeds, we know if you are into plants in any way, Gene and Graham, again, bless them, did the wildflowers on the in between the two buildings, but they spent time digging all the rubbish up first. They spent time making sure that it is good soil that they can plant in, that the plants will flourish. And we have to do the same, don't we? We have to make sure that we get rid of the rubbish in our lives. We see that when we build buildings, they don't grow, but you have to put a plan in place to make the building. You have to do the groundwork. You have to dig all the rubbish up so you can have a solid foundation, so you can build on a solid foundation. Well, I want to encourage you that we have got to build on a solid foundation. We know that God's word is that solid foundation that we can build our lives upon. If we are to be healthy and want to live a healthy life, we've got to eat healthy, haven't we? If you eat every day from a takeaway or just a quick microwave meal, then it will show over time. It will show through your health. If we eat salads all day, you'll turn into a rabbit. Oh, dear. Why did God do that? Why is all the good food not healthy for you? No. But we have to eat a balanced diet, don't we? We can't just eat all the chocolate and sweets and things that we enjoy. It's got to be a balanced diet. I do apologize for coughing. When Pastor John asked me about speaking, as you'll know, I always spend a long, long time seeking God as to what he wants me to bring. I spend weeks, hours and hours and hours praying, seeking God, studying God's word to what he wants me to bring. And I asked God in prayer and I said, Lord, will you please show me, firstly, what you want me to preach on, but will you show me the obstacles, the hindrances that are preventing people from growing? Will you show us the things that are an annoyance in our lives? And I really felt that God said, they're past. And tell them to press on. Now, I'll say that again. I felt God say, they're past. And tell them to press on. Now, it's important to know that God doesn't remind you of your past. If you're being reminded of your past, it's not God that's doing it. Often it's ourselves, the enemy, people around us that tell us of the things that have gone wrong in the past and say to us, you'll never be good enough. You'll not be able to do that. You could never do that because you did that in the past. And I want to tell you that that is not the word from God. God speaks life in us. God speaks growth. God speaks encouragement. And I want, just for a short time this morning, I want to look at a person in the Bible. And I love looking at characters in the Bible. We know, I would often go to Peter. Peter's a great illustration. I'm not going to this morning, but Peter's a great illustration into of God, I'll, Jesus, I'll never deny you. Never. And then what did he do? Three times, denied him. Turned his back on him, even swore with an oath they would never deny God. But the majority, an awful lot of our New Testament is written by a man called Paul, which I'm sure many of you know. And I want just to look at Philippians, if you've got your Bibles. Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to start at verse 12. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on. Say, I press on. To take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on. Say, I press on. Toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Go on, say it again. I press on. You know why we're encouraged to read Scripture out loud, don't you? Because you've got one mouth, but yet you've got two ears, and it is important to hear the Word of God. I don't know if you do this, whether you read Scripture aloud at home. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Amen? We have to read Scripture and let it sink in. Read it and read it and read it again. I press on. In that word, in the Hebrew, it's dioko. And the word literally means to pursue, to seek eagerly, to constantly be going at it. It's not a one-time thing. It's a constant thing. I press on. I continue to press on. We find that word again in 1 Peter 3:10, where it says, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace. This is the seek peace and pursue it. That is the same word. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. Hallelujah. God hears your prayers. I've used this illustration again. I'm going to stay here for a minute. There was a lady in my previous church who was hard of hearing. And whenever you were talking to her, she would go like that. because this was a good ear. Hillary often does it as well. He will go like that to listen, that he's been attentive to what you're saying. God is attentive to your prayers. Hallelujah. God is turning his ears, inclining his ear to hear what you are saying. What a privilege that is. Then he says, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Those who do evil. Say, I press on. I press on. When we started reading through Philippians 3, verse 12, it says, not that I have already obtained it, all this. To understand that, you need to go back a couple of verses to kind of understand what Paul's talking about. And you get his, if you want, his CV, all his, the things that he's done in life, and he's so good at what he's done. Verse 4 says, if anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Do you know, there's no way I could say that. Paul is so good at what he was doing. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrew, in regards to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Say, I press on. Here, Paul is giving us this amazing CV of all the things that he has accomplished. And yeah, he's done really well in life. But there he said, if you notice, persecuting the church. As for zeal, persecuting the church. Now, if you look in other letters, you will know that he was very good at persecuting the church. He was very good at dragging Christians off to prison before he knew the Lord, before he had that point in time where the Lord would grab a hold of his life. Paul says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. When I was praying and I was seeking God and asking him about this morning, and I felt God say their past. Again, this is not about God reminding you of your past. It is some of you constantly reminding yourselves of your past, that you can't move forward until you give it to God and you surrender it before the throne of grace and say, I am having nothing to do with that any longer. If you knew that either myself or Pastor John or Pastor Morris or Pastor Bayer used to live a life persecuting Christians, dragging them off to jail, beating them up, potentially killing Christians because they hated them so much, would you be happy for us to be here preaching? No. But yet, Paul has written an awful lot of our New Testament, and you are reading it, hopefully, day by day. And this is what is shaping you. Is this sinking in? The God who we serve does not remind us of our past, but lives today and for the future, which is why it says, I press on. I keep looking forward. Pastor John gave us the vision of what we would like to see you do as individuals and as a church, that we continue to move on. We continue to press on forward. When you have a vision, when you have a goal in mind, you change how you act. You change how you do things in a day. One of the things I forgot to mention in the notices, and I'll mention it again probably next week, but Auntie Christine and my daughter, youngest daughter Megan, are going to be going out to Zimbabwe, possibly in July. And I've decided that I'm going to do a cycle from the west coast to the east coast of England on my push bike. 140 miles to raise money to go towards the work that they do out in Zimbabwe. I hope you're going to sponsor me. But you know, the reason I'm telling you this is because now I have committed, now that is my vision, that is my goal of what I am going to do, everything I do affects my goal. Because I'm watching what I'm eating. I'm making sure I'm going to the gym 3 times a week. I'm making sure I'm doing extra walking. If you've got an Apple Watch or a smartwatch, it tells you if you've been sat down for 50 minutes, doesn't it? And it tells you to get up. So if I'm sat down for 50 minutes, I go running up and down the stairs in the building next door because I think I can't be sat down. It's affecting everything I do. So because of my salvation, because of what God has done in my life, I have to press on. I cannot look to the mistakes that I have done in the past, and boy, have I made mistakes. I don't know about you, but I am not perfect, and I have messed up time and time again. I'm sorry, but you ain't got a perfect pastor. You ain't got a perfect leadership team, because we have messed up. But I press on. I keep my eyes on the goal. I keep moving forwards. Because if I allow the past to affect me, I'll go nowhere. If I allow what has happened in the past, I will never move forward. Paul says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, even though he had done all these things. He was so good with Jewish law, with being a Hebrew, and all the things that he did. I haven't got it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead. That word straining, it's not just casually, oh, well, yeah, I might get there and, you know, I'll slowly do it. It's being forceful. It's being mindful about it. It doesn't just happen automatically. It's in Ephesians where 3:7, where he says, I became a servant of this gospel. Are you a servant of the gospel? Are you a servant of Jesus Christ? Do you serve him in all that you do? Paul says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, hallelujah, given me through the working of his power. Although, and this is Paul speaking, I am less than the least of all the Lord's people. Paul's saying that there's some amazing Christians out there, and I want to do what I can. I want to encourage them. But do you know, I am the least of them all. Can you imagine knowing Paul and thinking, do you know, we can see what's happened now and all that you've wrote and all the letters that you wrote to all the churches, Philippi, Ephesus and Colossae and all these different churches. Paul, if we could only go to you and say, you're not the least. You are the one that's written so much of the New Testament. But he says, I am less than the least of all the Lord's people. You see here a struggle that Paul is having, that I'm less than all these people. This grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. Hallelujah. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church. Say, through the church. That's you. Amen? His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Hallelujah. The authority God gives you is not because of what you've done in the past, whether you've got a degree, a master's, a doctorate, or whatever you may have. I go as far as saying, is God really bothered? Do you know, I'm being serious. But what we do for the kingdom, God is really serious. God is really interested in what we do for the kingdom of God and how we bless others, how we can be a blessing to those around you. Please forgive me for my email on Friday if you've read it. But I want us to be a church that is a blessing to those around us, not just this area, but wherever you live. You are called to be a blessing to your neighbor, a blessing to your family, a blessing to those people that you really dislike and really rub you up the wrong way. Bless them. Bake them a cake. Take them some flowers round. If we allow the past to dictate our future, we're going to have problems. And we know that God says that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions. Not the north or the south. Please note that, because the north is a point where you can get to. The south is a point where you can get to. You cannot get to east. You just keep going. You keep going, you keep going. You go west, you keep going, you keep going. Keep going west, you keep going. You can't find it. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions. Hallelujah. Thought I might have got a few amens on that. Praise God. So Paul is saying, I press on. Say, I press on. Can we press on together? We have a vision as a church. But hopefully you have a vision yourself, a destination, a goal where you are going. And ultimately, it is to glorify God. Amen? Amen? Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus has took hold of me. I was thinking of an illustration. John, just stand up for a second. You know when Paul's saying, I take hold. Come here, just stand out here, please. When he says that I take hold of something. If we just hold hands, it's a good contact, isn't it? But it's easily to slip off. If you want a firm hold, if I grab a hold of John, of his clothes or something of him, and he grabs a hold of me, it's a lot firmer way of making sure we are connected. Amen. Amen? Paul's saying, thank you, John. Paul's saying that I grab a hold of that to which Jesus Christ has grabbed a hold of me. Because he first loved you. You know that? Whatever you've done in the past, whatever has gone on, he still loves you. It is through repentance and faith that we can understand this, that we understand God's grace. And even then, we get to a point where I still don't really understand it. I still don't really get it, why you love me so much, why you would send your only son to die on a cross for me. I don't get it, God. I really don't understand it. But I'm going to live in that blessing. I'm going to live in that, and I'm going to grab a hold of it with everything that I have. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. What does he mean there? He's just said he's grabbing a hold of it. He's basically saying, I don't understand it yet. I still haven't grasped it in my own mind. I still haven't taken a hold of why Jesus would love me so much, why God would send his only son to die on a cross. I used to persecute Christians. I used to do this and I used to do that. And I'm sure many of you can say the exact same things. I have done this and God can never do that. Don't say it. Don't listen to the enemy. Listen to what God is saying. And through this amazing person of Paul, who has written so many letters to so many churches and is able to say, I am not looking at what has happened in the past, but forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal. I am committing to training as much as I can to be able to do 140 miles on my push bike in one day. I am going to do it in one day. We're going to set off at 6 a.m. and I am going to get to Scarborough hopefully before midnight. I am committed to doing this. Do you know, as some of you have come from countries where it is not nice, from persecution. And I am doing it because I have seen, I have been out to Zim with Antichristine, I have seen the state of some of the places, some of the orphanages that that we went in and the Antichristine set up and different places to help people that have abandoned babies. And my heart goes out to them. So if I can cycle a few miles just to raise some money to help some people, then I will do. And hopefully, as we all have a goal to do something to glorify God, we will see this world change. Amen? Because we can all do our bit. I'm asking Franco to come up. I'm going to finish. I just want to read that passage again, but I'm going to read it in the Message, because sometimes I like how the Message words things. Just close your eyes a minute, please. Before I read, just give God the things that are holding you back. Just give God these things that either you remind yourself of constantly, or the enemy reminds you of, or maybe people around you that know what you've done. Say, from this point on, God, I am going to listen to what you say about me. I am not going to listen to negative words. I'm going to listen to the words of God, because they are life. They are restoration. They are whole. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have made it, but I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running. I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Stick with me. Friends, keep track of those you see running this same course, headed for this same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is Easy Street. They hate Christ's cross. But Easy Street is a dead end street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods. Belshazzars are their praise. All they can think of is their appetites. But there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting for the arrival of the Saviour, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which he's putting everything as it should be, under and around him. Amen.